Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a subject today that I think will be of tremendous interest to you. It's an odyssey. It is a journey with my guest, Randolph J. Rogers. The book is titled The Key of Life. May I call you Randy?
Yes, I go by Randy.
Oh,
I just don't use it on a book because there's a band out there called the Randy Rogers Band, and that's all that shows up when you Google it, so I didn't even want to fight that.
Well, Randy, I wanted people to know that you're the president of Telefilm, Inc., which is a Los Angeles-based production company, and you've worked a lot with promotion for the big, big, big films like The Matrix, Harry Potter, Pearl Harbor, Batman, Superman, Indiana Jones, which I just dearly love. And you have spent 4 years in the media industry, everything from newspapers to motion pictures, big companies like NBC, MGM. I mean, this is quite a background that you had. Yet you found yourself on a journey that you have put into this book. And for those of you listening, I think it's always so important to hear the stories of other people, because so often we'll stand back and say, oh, gee, those people are so lucky. They never have, oh, my goodness, they never have to worry about anything. But we all have to walk a path of learning. Isn't that true, Randy?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly true. And the fact that it happened with me, and I'm just this ordinary guy who was born in a small town outside of Pittsburgh in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and ended up out here working in Hollywood. It's just following my path in life, and it ended up out here.
Well, it's fascinating how when you hear the stories of people and the choices that they make and how many times we're brought into environments that maybe we daydreamed about but didn't realize that we were actually going to have the opportunity to be a part of. And you are, in your own way, a very visionary type of person. You don't mind thinking big. This is something that's pretty comfortable for you. And you really got into the big time. Tell us a little bit about that journey, what it was like for you.
Oh, but as I worked my way into Hollywood here, well, I was always a camera man, a photographer. I had a camera since I was 10, and I worked in, I ended up getting a job at a newspaper when I was still in high school back in 1970. And from that, it led to a television station. And then from there, I went and worked in the Phoenix market for 13 years. And then the network hired me out here at Los Angeles, NBC. I moved over and worked with them. And that, by the time I'd had 20 years in the business, then the news business was changing, and I decided that I didn't want to be part of it anymore. It was getting too tabloid for my taste, and so I moved into the motion picture end of it and started doing the promotion of all these movies, and that's what I've been doing the last 20 years is that here in Hollywood. But that's where just after I started doing this, though, back in 1995 is when this story began, where I all of a sudden started to see these synchronicities in my life appearing, and the newsman in me is what grabbed onto that, and I couldn't let go of that story.
Your book starts off with a lot of information about you and your background, but there is a love story that I call it a love story anyway, with a very special lady named Kathy. Tell us a little bit about Kathy.
Well, Kathy was a girl that I had gone to grade school with back in Pennsylvania, and I had gone to a Catholic grade school, Sacred Heart, in Conemaugh, Pennsylvania, and we had known each other there, and we were just friends. I never dated her or anything like that, but I felt close to her for some reason. And when I left Pennsylvania in 73 was the last time I ever saw her. I'd taken her out on a shoot with me one day, and then a few months later I was gone. I came out west to work in the news business. And I stayed in touch with some postcards over the years. But in 1980, her card came back to me, and I figured, well, she got married or moved on, and that was the last I heard of her, until 1995, when I started to have these premonitions and dreams that she had passed away.
Now, you were made aware a year after she had passed away, that she actually had passed.
Oh,
yet,
well, yeah.
You were going through these various experiences.
Right. I was, well, it was pretty quickly after she passed away that I had the thoughts that she was gone. I had just moved into a new house, and the thoughts just slammed me, and I couldn't let go of it. And I started searching for a year on the internet, but not telling anyone I was having these thoughts that she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then exactly a year later, in July of 1996, I had this dream, and it was so intense it woke me up in the middle of the night, and I had to go downstairs and write it down, because in the background I could hear Kathy telling me to do this. Wake up, write this down, you won't remember it. And in the dream, I was out in Palm Springs. I was talking to these people who were telling me that she had passed away quietly in her sleep. And I described the building I was in, everything about it, and the people, and also in the background, though, Kathy was saying to tell these to wake up and write this down, you won't remember it, and also to tell these four friends of hers that she had gone to grade school with. And I wrote their names down, too, and I ended up contacting them, and of course, because she's saying they don't know what happened. And,
mm-hmm.
and at this point, I didn't know either. I had not found her yet, so I couldn't believe that she was gone until I had some concrete proof. And so I wrote this note down, this dream, went to bed, and wasn't asleep. I was lying there watching the fan circling overhead, and I had an out-of-body experience where I just floated up away from myself. Now, this is all new to me. I wasn't in any kind of metaphysical person or even had studied or knew what the word was. I'd been raised in this Roman Catholic family, and that was pretty much my extent of any kind of religion or background like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kathy came to me in this out-of-body experience, she started telling me what the world was like and where she was and how she's not really dead, that you don't really die. And well, this all occurred that night, and the next morning, I mean, I woke up, well, she said a few words to me, and I wrote those down on the paper. And I woke up the next morning and looked over and saw this paper and then realized it wasn't a dream. I'd really written this down. And so then I called my mother and told her what was happening and asked her to search for Kathy's relatives because I felt that something had happened with her. So to jump ahead in the story, that's what occurred, is my mom, about within the month, by the end of July, had found her sister. Kathy's sister was a nun down in Pittsburgh, and Sister Carlene was her name. She told my mom that she was sorry to tell us this, but Kathy passed away from ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when I about dropped the phone because I realized I was working on a video on ovarian cancer at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was producing it for the Fire and Ice Ball out here in Los Angeles. And I could see this synchronicity occurring, and that's what drove me along the path to try to understand how Kathy was reaching out to me and how this could all be possible.
You had an experience with a book that I thought was quite interesting. You had been in a bookstore and were attracted to an area called, you know, books on dreams.
Right.
And you said your inner voice, I'm just quoting from your book, was saying, you didn't get what you came in here for, go back to the books. And you found a book titled Dreams and Premonitions. Tell us about that book.
Well, yeah, that was really startled me, that experience that evening. I was looking for a gift for my wife's birthday and ended up in this store that I hadn't even planned on being in, but yet I found what I had in my mind, what I'd visualized in my mind, which were these blue vases. And so on leaving the store, I walked by those books and I looked at them because they were on dreams, and I knew I was having dreams, and I ran my hands across them and I saw nothing. And when I was checking out, took my stuff up to buy at the counter, that's when I heard, no, you didn't get what you came in here for, go back to those books. And when I went back there the second time and ran my hands across them, there in the dead center was this book saying Dreams and Premonitions, but what jumped out at me was my name was at the top of it. It said Rogers, and it was spelled the same way, and I just immediately, you know, recognized it, pull it out, and I'm looking at this old book, and it's really old, and open it up, it was written in 1923, and I didn't know what, but it was $12, and I thought, well, that's a cheap solution. I'll just take this home. Maybe it has some answers in it. And it did indeed have some answers in it. the same answers that Kathy was giving me, the night in the out-of-body experience, and
mm-hmm.
that jarred me. That the fact that what I had heard weeks earlier from her was the same thing this person had written about were just too coincidental, and I could see these things starting to line up, and that started me on a path of trying to find out who she was, who I was, and who this author was, L.W. Rogers.
Now, Kathy just had a fascinating patterning with you, and part of your interaction with Chris is the conversation where Kathy had said to Chris that she believed she had reincarnated and that she had been an Indian in a past life. And this opened up a whole new box of worms, you might say, for you. And you just found that there was one situation right after the other, and you had this awareness with Kathy that the two of you have been together since the beginning of time. That's what she told you. What a fascinating thing for you to go through.
Oh, it was... I had no idea how this could be possible. I'm trying to understand, and in the very beginning of this, I had no knowledge of past lives or reincarnation or even the concept of how that all worked. I wasn't aware on any level about how these things could possibly even be true. And yet they were coming to me, and I'm telling people this is what Kathy's saying to me, and then I end up out there with her sister and Palm Springs. Amazingly, I mean, we kind of skipped a little bit, but I went back east first and met the nun, and while I'm in there talking to the nun, the phone happens to ring, and it's Kathy's other sister, Chris, calling from Palm Springs, and that's where Kathy was when she passed away, and that's where my dream took place. So I was hitting these things right on the money every time, and where I was and what it was looked like, what this place was like, and in fact, when the fact that she called just while I happened to be in this convent in Pittsburgh on this day, I viewed that as not a coincidence, because that's what the nun said as soon as she went to answer the phone. Oh, what a coincidence you're calling. There's this guy that stopped by here, and he's telling me about Kathy and all these stories about her coming to him. And immediately Chris wanted to talk to me because
mm-hmm.
she knew what Kathy had been saying before she passed away. And Kathy had these feelings and thoughts about having been here before and had been relaying them to her sister, but I had no knowledge of it, yet now I'm coming out from left field here and telling the whole family that she's coming to me now and telling me these things. So it was a startling journey and that one thing led to a next to the next, and the story just takes off.
Yes, it does. And one of the items that you brought out in the book, because of your Catholic background, and of course Kathy had a very strong Catholic background, in your book you said the Catholic religion had one last virus that it had embedded deep inside of each one of us, and that virus was guilt. And Kathy made peace with a lot of that, didn't she, before she passed?
Well, you know, I talked to her sister about that a lot, and I don't... I think she did. I mean, I would hope she did, because it's something that is hard to let go of. Even with me, it's still there. It's like a root that won't ever go away. You always have some kind of guilt over something that you're trying to shake. And when you read this book, you'll see how I ended up losing that thread of it in my life and letting go. And that's what I always tell people. Sometimes you have to let go of things that were embedded in you that on a subconscious level you ingested all this and were taking it in. You took it to be the gospel and it was presented to you by somebody else and you never really examined it. And now that's what I was doing in my life. I was examining all these things that were told to me before that and turning out that some of these things weren't true. That
mm-hmm.
that's what everyone has to do in their own individual life out there is examine the truth and recognize your own bits of truth and save those for yourself.
You had experiences where you had the deja vu feeling. You were in places that you didn't ever have the experience with before, yet you knew them.
Right.
And this is something I feel that whenever anybody starts on the path of searching, of self-investigation, of learning, you have these situations, these conditions, deja vu, synchronicity, coincidences. And the more you pay attention, the more visible they are to you. And you realize that you're here for a purpose, and you're here to go through the experience. And when you started doing your research on L.W. Rogers, there was just one circumstance after the other when you were doing that research that really were mind-boggling to you.
Oh, yeah. L.W. Rogers was an incredible character that had lived and died right before I was born. Yet, I somehow, when I held that book in my hands, that Dreams and Premonitions, I knew this. I knew that he was an old man when he wrote it, that he was an older man in his 60s when he wrote it. And I also knew that he died before I was born. And this was all from just holding a book that had nothing about the author. It mm-hmm. didn't even tell you if he was a guy in it. It just had his initials, L.W. Rogers. And I assumed he was because I read through it and I finally found a letter that somebody had addressed him as Mr. Rogers. But that was it. That's all I knew about him. I didn't know his name, where he was, but yet I started this search, and everything I was saying about him turned out to be true. And that even led me to finding his son, still living up in Ojai, and an incredible meeting with him, and where I described what is, because as I was led down this path, I was led to also to a Russian acupuncturist, Lucy. And that's the person who really guided me to was able to take me to a level of that I could examine all these things and speak with LW and speak with Kathy and bring this information back into this existence, into our life here. And that was where my that connection with Lucy was what really startled me. How I thought I didn't know, I thought I just met this woman, yet I find out that I've known her forever, too, and I mm-hmm. proved it in the story.
Now, you are married. You have a lovely wife by the name of Susan. When you're going through all of this stuff, did she think you belonged in Looney Tunes land?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
right
was,
along there
well,
with Elmer Fudd, Bugs
say
Bunny.
That out, yeah, she never said that to me, but along the way she was trying to push me to drop the whole story
mm-hmm.
and to quit searching. And the more somebody tells me something, I can't do something, I'm the opposite kind of personality. I always take negative energy and turn it into my own positive energy. So I always, anybody that tells me I can't do something, I always go out to show them why I can do it and how I can. And that's how I got to where I am today in the news business. And because everybody said, did you ever think you'd be out there in Hollywood working with all these people? No, I just followed my path and stayed to it. You know, I
mm-hmm.
didn't try to go the opposite direction or do something off the that wasn't feeling natural to me. But Susan was definitely battling me. But there's a reason for that, too. When you get to the very end of the story, you understand why she was pushing me the other direction, because that was all part of, you know, opening me onto a new path here.
Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is, I was just talking with someone a short while ago before the show, and we were talking about them being in a very bumpy situation in their life, but those bumps are there for a reason, and it's up to us. Just like what you said, you like to take negative energy and convert it into something that's going to have a positive outcome. That takes conscious mindfulness to do that. And when we can look at our circumstances with that kind of a demeanor, we're going to find that we're going to be given options that maybe we wouldn't have even considered before. It's really a fascinating, fascinating phenomena. Now, you also had the information that was given to you. It was a package from Kathy's sister, Chris mm-hmm. Russell. What was in that package, and what was so exceptional about it?
Well, there were a couple things in there. Well, one was the bracelet that she had, and she was given, Kathy had been given this bracelet, and it was made by a Native American Indian, and he had put the, it was supposed to be a powerful bracelet for her to wear that would help her and in this cancer she was suffering through, and she apparently wore this all the time, and she gave that to him, and there was also a family tree there, which I thought, well, My thinking was, I was still in this logical mode of trying to look through family trees and see where maybe the Lynches and the Rogers were somehow married back in time. Our two families were related. That's what I thought the connection would be, and that would be the end of it. But that turned out not to be the case at all as I investigated. And the bracelet, when I got it, I put it on my wrist, started wearing it, and then as I would go into these regression sessions and she first put the needles in me, that's when the strange things started happening with the vibration of the needles. And I mean, that needle in my arm was shaking like a divining rod, just vibrating so hard. And I couldn't even explain it, why it was doing it in the wrist with the bracelet. But it definitely gave me this tie into Kathy, that I had some piece of something that she used to wear. And it made me feel a little closer to her at the time.
The number 23 kept coming up with you.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you think that number is so significant for you?
Well, that's on the cover of the book and everywhere. And if you actually look at the cover of the book, it's got all kinds of symbols. And 23 was one of the biggest ones. And I didn't even realize it. But again, there was my wife helping me in an argument one day where I was saying nothing's a coincidence. And she's immediately pulled out this number 23 and threw it in my face. And, well, then if nothing's a coincidence, this number 23, you've said it about 10 different times. And I didn't realize I had been talking about this number, but apparently it was Kathy's birth. It ended up being Kathy's birth date. It was 23 years since I had seen Kathy. The book I written by L.W. Rogers was written in 1923. And there were these, and now I started seeing these numbers appear. And everywhere I turned, this number 23 just started showing up. And so it was another little marker on a signpost of my life, that I call it. And I used it to guide me along the way.
In these sessions with Lucy, in this regression therapy, it must have been quite profound to have the images and the information come to you about these past life experiences, because you were in an altered state, but you were consciously aware. And one of the things that Lucy did, and in the book there's an exercise that Lucy gives you to do that anybody could use if they
right.
wanted to. But for you, it was being in a safe environment where you were having the relaxation from massage and from the acupuncture, and the stimulus of all of this enabled you to go into these various experiences. What was the greatest gift that came out of that for you? A lot of people would say, don't bother with past lives. You can't do anything about them anyway. What was the greatest gift that came out of that for you?
Well, the greatest gift, I'd say, was the understanding of who we really are and how we're all connected. I mean, that's what came out of the whole situation. And the other thing that came out of it was that the thing that drives everything on this other dimension that we come from is love. There's this vibration of love that immediately engulfs you when you go over there. And going into these sessions every time was just incredible for me. The feeling was beyond anything I'd ever imagined could be possible without, and there's no drugs involved, nothing, just mm-hmm. four simple needles in me. I'm lying on a table, taking a deep breath, relaxing, letting it go, and all of a sudden, it's like a movie turns on, but you're not just viewing the movie, you become part of the movie. And another way to describe it would be it's like a dream, but you're in the dream, and you feel and smell and taste it as everything. I mean, you can see everything is vibrant in this other world, more so than here. And being there was, it was unbelievable to be in another dimension and also know that your body's lying on a table in West L.A. on this bed, on this table with four pins in it, needles in you. And that was what was amazing to me. I was fully conscious of everything going on. And so you could bring information back from this other part of where we come from, which normally you can't do. I mean, you go to sleep at night and you visit this place. We all do. But then when we come back the next day, our dreams are jumbled up and everything's kind of a, you get pieces of things, but you can never bring back the whole story of how it's all mm-hmm. going together.
Mm-hmm.
So having an open link there is really important. But even then, you only, you know, they only let you see what they want you to see over there, and because you can see everything. You can look to the as far back, as many lives as you want to look back, and you can look the whole way forward. And I did. I looked forward 15, I must have looked forward 15, 20 years. On one occasion, I went into a future life, and I described myself in my late 50s, early 60s. My hair was starting to gray, and I was directing this movie, and I described everything in detail, how what I had built, all this stuff. And I write this down 14 years ago, and I'm thinking, this is all crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden this year, last year, I was handed this story to do, you know, that somebody gave me this story and it matched exactly with what I had described in this regression. I went back and investigated. It's a true story. And so now we're working on the script for the movie. So I'm blown away with how this works, that when you find out that life is definitely a lot different than most people imagine it.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a fascinating phenomena, and I can relate to what you are saying because I have had situations shown to me that were years in advance. And I'll have to share with you, this is sort of a little spin, but one of it was that I was going to be broader in the hips than what I liked, and I wasn't too happy with that dream. So, just a little light touch there. But I really think that this is your book, The Key of Life, A Metaphysical Investigation, is a story of your journey, and I think you tell it with honesty and clarity. And when someone's reading it, whether they would believe in it or not, I think there is a relationship that one can develop with oneself that allows us to explore, where we start asking questions, and we want to have some answers because we know there's more to life than what we're directed to believe. And that's a big, big challenge. That's a big challenge, especially when we're going through such tough times like so many people are right now. There's all kinds of issues. And one of the things I like to share with people is focus on what's most significant to you and focus on really what you can do something about. You can get all upset and all agitated and all angry and everything else, but if you can't take care of your own space, you're going to be in hot water. And you then become what I call a victim because you allow yourself to fall into that role. And it shouldn't be that way. And I think your book is very empowering to show people that there is a flow in life, that once we're able to move with it and we allow ourselves to explore, the adventure becomes ongoing. It doesn't stay in one spot.
It doesn't stop either. And allowing yourself to explore that and like I said, and open up your own truths, examine your own life issues. Don't look to someone else for the answer. So many people are calling up, what should I do here? What should I? If the answer's within you. That's what was always coming to me when I went there searching for answers. And as you read in the book, you'll see they never answered me with a direct answer. They always asked me a question back that made me look inside myself. And I found that amazing, that the answers were always there the whole time. I just never looked deep enough to find it.
Yes, and that is a challenge. Now, you have a website, Randy.
Right.
And again, for those of you listening, it's Randolph Rogers. He uses his formal name on the book, The Key of Life, A Metaphysical Investigation. Now, you have thekeyoflife.net, and of course,
right,
all of my listeners are web savvy, thekeyoflife.net, or Randolph Rogers.com. What are they going to find on the Key of Life?
On the website, they'll they'll have a couple of chapters of the book. The first titled section will be in there, and that will give them an idea of where the story's going. And then there's connections there to our Facebook page, and there's events page there of where I'm going to be talking or doing book signings. I'm doing a book signing at the Bodie Tree in Los Angeles this Saturday, if anybody's from Los Angeles listening, and all kinds of just events that I'll be at, and an email internet connection if you have any other questions. A lot of people have questions or like to share their stories too.
Mm-hmm.
I have love to hear that if you're on Facebook, or send me an email with the story, because they're incredible stories. Once people read it, they all have stories of their own, or it opens their eyes to seeing these synchronicities in it.
I agree. And so, again, his website is thekeyoflife.net or randolphrogers.com. Randy, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think that it is going to be something that many, many people will be able to resonate with. And who knows, you may give them the opportunity to become liberated in their own way and start an adventure of self-discovery they never realized they could experience.
Well, you're welcome, Donna, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, thekeyoflife.net or randolphrogers.com, thekeyoflife.net. Randolph Rogers has been my guest. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a little bit. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, we do have a caller on the line, and I'll be getting to that caller in just a moment. But for those of you listening, if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here is the toll-free number to go to 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And quickly, I want to mention all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and of course, I'd like to know where you're calling in from. And I will give you what I perceive, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you're interested in. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking with Sammy Thompson. Now, this woman is a harpist, and I've known Sammy for, oh my goodness, almost 8 years now. And I met her through a social function, and this woman is just an exquisite harp player. And she has been involved and dedicated with hospice work, and her beautiful music she will take to places, and it's just been marvelous, her experience. Well, she's linked up with a musician who is a world-class guitarist, and we're going to be going through that. It is just marvelous music, so we'll be sharing that with you tomorrow. But I wanted to give you a heads up on that. Now let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show, so if you decide you'd like to call in, and again, the number is 888-815-9756. You'll be able to do it. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show, and may I have your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, thank you. My name is Lisa, and I am calling from Novi, Michigan.
From where in Michigan?
Novi.
Novi. Are you deep in snow right now?
It's snowing now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I understand you're getting a pretty good Arctic front that's coming through there. Brr. I stay in the Pacific Northwest. It's drippy out here, but it's not freezing. We already went through our cold snap. They can keep it.
Okay.
All right, Lisa, let me get down. And I notice we have a little bit of a time delay, so I'll do my best so I don't overlap you. I'll pause, and let's just give it like a split-second pause, and then if you want to talk, you can do that. But that way we won't be overlapping each other. Okay, Lisa, the first thing I am looking at is a frown on your face. I think that you are very concerned about some particular circumstances, and you feel like you've got to choose a different routing to accomplish certain things so that things will, your environment will settle down. And I would say you're right on the money. Follow your intuition. You're doing a good job, but I want you to pace yourself. I'm a little bit concerned because I'm seeing you so tired that you, when you're extremely tired, just like with any of us, you cannot think through things clearly. And I would love for you to reconnect with an individual that you have a lot of trust and confidence in and use them as a mentor. You don't want them to make your decisions for you, but you'd like to get some good feedback so that you can balance things. But I want to encourage you to please take care of yourself. Get the rest you need. Worry has never, ever solved anything. It just absolutely depletes you. And the best thing for you to do when you find that the stress level is getting really intense is to do a shift. And that is to go work on a puzzle. Do something that mentally is going to get you out of the worry zone, the anxious zone, so that you can be in the clarity zone. And usually doing something simplistic, like I said, a puzzle, maybe reading a novel, maybe it's walking around the block. Of course, you don't want to do that in a snowstorm. But, you know, whatever it is that you do, maybe baking something, maybe scrubbing a floor, whatever it takes, I want that disassociation. It doesn't mean that you're ignoring what goes on. It means that you disassociate so that you get your worry pattern, your anxious pattern, so that it's erased, it's neutralized. That is going to enable you then to move forward with the clarity that you need. But you really do need someone that you can talk with that will be clear with you in their perceptions. You may or may not want to follow the advice they give, but it'll give you an awareness that you have options and choices. And that is very important, and you're highly intuitive, you're very creative, you need to be able to involve yourself in environments that will support that creativity so that you can enjoy it more and more. And economically, I think you're going to be in a pretty stable positioning if you will just be true to what you know you need to do for yourself. Now, there's not a move real soon, but things are coming into a harmony and a balance for you. What question would you like to ask me today?
Wow, you enlightened me a lot. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad. How did I enlighten you? What is it that was of value to you?
Well, I am concerned about something and it's someone. And I think part of it is that, as you say, my intuition, I think I feel empathy from their situation. And I have noticed and felt it before it even happened,
mm-hmm.
but it's starting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard because I care about this person and I feel emotionally involved with them. And I'm wondering what you can say if you see us growing together or what you see happening. I've known them for about 6 weeks.
I would say with this situation, remember what I said earlier about detachment? Doesn't mean that you're not aware, but you step out of it. So you don't try to
right.
own it. We are often indoctrinated, especially as women, that we're supposed to be rescuers, fixer-uppers. We got the spackle, we got the trowel, we got everything. My goodness, we'll just go in and, you know, we'll just zip everything together. Well, if we become wise, we put aside the spackle, we use it for whatever we need for ourselves, but you have to allow people to go through their experiences. You're not meant to be the rescuer. You're not meant to be the super repair woman. So this for you, I think, is an experience that you don't need to try to own it. You don't try to possess it because it's not yours to possess. It is this person's journey. And I am not seeing a very strong connection in the future. But I think part of the lesson for you is to be aware of the fact that you can care for someone, but sometimes it's wise to stand back so that they can go through their experience and grow from it. Have you ever heard the story of a butterfly where someone decided they were going to assist a butterfly? It started coming out of its chrysalis, and it was just not doing very well, and the person watching it was just so anxious, and so they said, well, I'll help the butterfly, and I'll cut the chrysalis so we can get out much more quickly. To their great chagrin and despair, they found that they literally gave a death warrant to that butterfly, because the process of struggle that the butterfly had to go through to get out of the chrysalis was, or its cocoon, was the fact that it had to go through the struggle because there was a chemical process that was going on that helped its development. So this is important for you to be aware of. You need to stand down. You need to be aware that the cocoon, as you're observing it, that's breaking, this person is having to break out of something, it is important that they go through this process. You don't try to fix it for them. And in your mind, say a prayer for them. Say a prayer that the best outcome possible will be for this person, and release it. Let it be. And I think you're going to be very pleased with the way that things will evolve. It'll surprise you. But make it okay. They have a right to this journey.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa, for calling in. And by the way, Happy New Year to you.
And to you also. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. I know we've got another caller on the line I'll get to in just a moment. If you'd like to call in today and chat with me, here's the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. Let's go to our next listener. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Sharon from Texas.
Hi, Sharon. Where are you in Texas?
And we're right outside of Austin.
Oh, Austin, one of my favorite cities. Oh, isn't that
yeah.
such a beautiful place. So green, and I love the bats.
Yes, they're wonderful. Everything about Austin is wonderful.
It is just an incredible area. I'll never forget the first time I ever went to Austin because of my experience with Texas many years ago. I went into those areas where it was brown and bleak, and I thought, gee whiz, can imagine doing a cattle drive through this. I mean, it was just terrible. And we fly over Austin. I said, what's all that green? That's Austin, I was told. I said, you've got to be kidding. You mean there's actually green in Texas?
Oh, we had so many different kinds of, you know, land in Texas.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a few that's like the mountains. They're not big mountains, but they're tabletop mountains. And then, of course, we have the desert, and we have the green, and just a little bit of everything.
Yes, you do.
We don't have a lot of snow down here in Austin, but they do up north, you know,
yes,
in the panhandle.
Yes, they do. They have a lot. We have family in the up in that area, and they were out shoveling snow, and that is not a common experience for them. Now, I know we're going to be going on break in just a little bit, but let me get started, and Sharon, be sure you stay with me, because after break, we'll be coming back to you.
Okay.
All right, the first thing, Sharon, I'm looking at is paperwork. And I just have to laugh because you often will say, so much for our paperless society. Look at how much junk I got to go through. And I know that there's a lot of us saying the same thing that you feel. But I really think you are taking time right now. You're taking advantage of a transition that's occurring in your life to really stand down and ask yourself what is most important to you. And I want to compliment you on that. Too often people, when they start shifting through these transitions in life, feel like they've got to be busier than a one-armed paper hanger and not do this. But you're doing it. Economically, you're going to be fine. Also, something that you need to know is that if you should desire to, there is an opportunity for you to evolve into a career that will link you with other women involved in an educational, humanitarian environment, and you could be doing it until you're 120. I'm seeing you just with the nicest group of people, sincere, dedicated individuals, and it's as if it's almost like a dream come true, because you really enjoy working with people. You really enjoy making a difference and being able to see things improve because of what you have learned and what you're able to pass on. Your intuition is very strong. You've tried to put a lid on it, and I want to say, don't do that. Take the lid off. Now, I know we've got to go to break, hon. Will you stay with me?
Yes, I will.
All right. We've got Sharon in Austin, Texas area, and we'll be coming back. And if you want to give me a call, too, it's 888-815-9756. We're coming back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. Meanwhile, we're going to go back to Sharon, who is near Austin, Texas. Sharon, what's your question to me today?
Well, I was really wanting to know something about if I was going to go back into work. You know, I'm not working now.
Mm-hmm.
I have problems with my eyes, and I'm trying to get those fixed now. And once I get that done, I want to go back to work. But you kind of answered that question.
Well, let me ask you
this. You said I might link up with some other women.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With a different career.
Yes. Now, what have you done in the past? What kind of work were you involved with in the past?
I've always done sewing jobs.
All right.
Worked in factories or worked out of my home, you know, making, doing alterations and making
All right.
just about anything.
Well, now, you're
machine.
Going to be doing something entirely different. I would like to encourage you to consider following a particular direction, and this is just mm-hmm. a suggestion. I'd like you to go to your local junior college or college. Go in.
It's so funny because I have been thinking about doing that, going
Good.
To seeing if there was something I could do differently there, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, let me encourage you to do this. Go in, make an appointment with a school counselor. When
okay.
you're with that school counselor, say, I'd like to do a vocational aptitude test. I have been engaged in a certain level of work for most of my life. I really don't want to go through with that at this time, but what I want to do is to become aware of what my strong points are and my strong interests, and that's what this testing is. It has nothing to do with IQ. And they'll put you through the test, and I think that's about $25, $30. I don't know. It's very inexpensive. And what
mm-hmm.
they'll come up with are different categories. And they'll give, you know, let's say maybe after they test you, and this is just an example, that you have artistic skills or maybe something that you would love to do is travel. You know, the strong issues. This, if I could do anything, this is what I would do. So they'll bring that out. And what you need to do when you're looking at those evaluations is not be concerned about your age. and not be concerned about the fact that you're having a problem with your eyes. You need to look at those categories when they're brought out as to what options might be available to you. And I think you're going to be able to find that you could work with a computer, learn certain software applications, certain computer programs, and that it's just going to open up a whole world for you. Also, I think that there are two or three organizations that are primarily run by women that when you become aware of your interest areas, you will explore maybe going to a meeting and talking to the different women and saying, well, this is what I'm doing, and I'm wondering what educational levels I should explore. Your counselor at the school may have some options, and you may also have something at a vocational school environment, but it'll come together, and I think within a year, you will have a whole new environment. But I'm specifically, for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, I'm looking at a nonprofit organization that women are very much in charge of. You're not going to be making $500,000 a year, but you're going to be able to make a nice income, but you'll start off, I think, working and being involved as a volunteer. And then they're going to find you so valuable, and I think you'll be starting off as a volunteer for a primary reason, and that's going to be because you're going to be involved in some kind of a training program that is going to advance your level of knowledge and education. So while you're in that and then you get involved in this volunteer basis, you're going to figure out what you really like about the environment and what you don't. And you're such a people person, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you became involved with fundraising. So I'm just seeing you enjoying these people and the networking. You're a very good networker. You like connecting people. And so these are things that are going to evolve for you over the next 2 to 3 years. So I want you to take care of your health, and I want you to be open to exploration and make this something that is fun, because it will just totally transform your life.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
Good.
I've been stuck in this house for about 3 years now and been able to go out and work, and and I've enjoyed not having to go out and work, but I miss the people. I miss connecting with other people.
Well, if you invest in yourself and are interested enough in yourself to explore what I've suggested, I think you are just going to find that you have so many, I'll use the term sisters, that are really, really going to be excited to come to know you. And they will be happy to share with you everything and anything that they are there to give to you. And that is what is going to be so meaningful. And this organization, when you finally link up with it, and I can't give you an exact time frame, it could be as long as 2 years, but in the process of finally linking up with a group, they're going to approach you and say, we'd like to have you as part of our team. And it is going to be something that you could, like I said, you could be involved with until you're 120.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Good.
Oh, it really does. I sure appreciate this.
Well, you're more than welcome, dear. Be sure to tell your friends about the show in your neck of the woods, because we're on 5 days a week.
Okay, I sure will.
And it's been a delight talking to you, and enjoy your area, because it is just it's just the most beautiful places in this country. It really is.
Yes.
It's just special.
Well, thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
And I appreciate all the advice and everything, because it finally, I had been thinking about going to the community college over here, and I thought, well, I just need some more education. I need to, actually I was thinking about doing it for a networking to meet other people and everything. And
sure.
You just hit it on the nail.
Well, thank
so
you very
now
much.
So now I have, that's all I need is someone to kind of give me a little shove, and that will do it then.
Well, good. Yeah, and you just go ahead and do it and have fun in the process.
Thank you so much, Donna.
You are very welcome, Sharon. My goodness, we're out of time. Oh, I had so many things I wanted to share with you today, but we've got tomorrow, haven't we? And we're going to be sharing beautiful music and a beautiful, beautiful lady, Sammy Thompson. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever let anybody talk to you and tell you that you don't have a right of choice. You do. Your mind belongs to you. You have the right to say, I'm going to make a shift. I'm going to make a change. When you are in this life, you have responsibilities, and I understand that. But realize that you also need to recognize that your biggest responsibility is using your talents and your capabilities so that they can enrich this experience of life in its own wonderful, magical way. And you are filled with magic. You really are. You just have to make it okay to let it come out once in a while so other people can benefit from it and that your light will shine even brighter. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.